I'm Steve Marshall from University of North Carolina. Just while we load, I want to mention that Dawn's comment was in jest. There's no decision about a permanent director at UNC at this point. Just want to clarify that in case anyone didn't. Dawn's humor is so subtle that we forget to drink. I just have a few remarks that should be completed within 50 or 60 minutes, so settle yourself down. My talk is on prevention of concussion, and I divide it into three areas because I only count up to three. That's as high as we go in epidemiology, one, two, three, and more than three is our entire calculus. And I'm going to talk a little bit about what works, what doesn't work, which is somewhat opinionated, and where I think we need to go next in terms of injury prevention in this area. And when I say what works, I guess I should clarify I'm talking about what works or promising things that we think should work, because we don't always have a great evidence base to work from in injury prevention, but sometimes we need to act on the best information that's available. Things that look very promising. Jerry alluded to the CDC Heads Up campaign for physicians, for practice, and there is an equivalent campaign for coaches, for athletes, and for parents. So it makes my life so much easier that the CDC is doing this and doing it well. And from the evaluations that are available, it looks like it does have an impact when it's correctly deployed. Like everything else in life, this is not the magic solution that solves everything. But basic awareness raising is really important around this problem, and this is an invaluable way to do that. And it comes helpfully packaged in many formats, posters, wallet cards, videos. There is online content that you can utilize, that coaches can utilize, but we still need to study and understand why some coaches are more receptive to these messages and why other coaches are less receptive. Having worked with coaches for a long, long time, we know that there are two types, those that nod and smile and those that really listen to us. And we still don't know enough about how to move people along the stages of how to take a high school coach or even a volunteer parent and move them through the stages of change. So studying behaviors of coaching and studying uptake of interventions by coaches is a really critical aspect of solving this problem. There's a K-12 version of this. And there is even an NFL version of this. Now, I'm not going to comment about why we should partner with industry in solving these problems. Obviously, this is a really critical, professional athletes are a really critical audience because they're the model for the younger generation, right? So although there are a very small number of professional athletes, they're very important because they have high visibility on the national stage. So kids are very influenced by what they see professional athletes do. Kids who are interested in football want to be like their stars. So when their stars show regard for preserving the integrity of their brain, we hope that that sends a message down the chain. These professionals are also of a lot of interest because they're a heavily exposed group. They've taken a lot of clinical and subclinical impacts to the brain. So from studying them, we can learn things about concussion that's applicable more broadly to other populations. So we know that more concussions are associated with more incident depression after retirement. We know that more concussions appear to be associated with the earlier onset of neurodimaging diseases like Alzheimer's. So those are very important things for us to be able to measure and quantify, because that tells people about the importance of injury prevention in this field. However, as I said, professional athletes, elite athletes, are a small number of the exposed population. For every one professional athlete, there's 100 collegiate athletes. And for every one collegiate athlete, there's 100 high school athletes. Now, that is a rough rule of thumb. It's different in different sports. So for every one of these guys, right, there's 10,000 people playing high school football. As a society, we have a funny dynamic, because these people are so high profile. When a professional footballer died on the practice field from heat stroke many years ago, my phone ran off the hook for 2 days. When this boy died, no one called me. But this death was completely preventable. If we had had an athletic trainer at this high school, we could have saved this boy's life. And one of the single biggest pushes we need to make as a professional organization is to partner with the National Athletic Trainers Association and push for trained, skilled healthcare professionals in our high schools. Because that's the only way we're going to catch these people when they have the first concussion, pull them out of play, rest them, as Jerry says, and make sure they don't pick up the second impact that kills them. That's a critical message here. We have laws. A lot of laws, a lot of legislation has been passed at the state level in the past few years. This is our law, which is named after Joaquin Waller and Matthew Gefalla. Matthew died the same year as Joaquin. Within these legislations that have been passed at the state level, there's enormous diversity. Some of these laws are almost punitive. Others of them are more educational. We need to think very carefully about legislation and its effect. We have a desperate need, I think, for template legislation that states can copy. What do we expect? What do we want out of legislation? What do we want out of awareness raising? We actually want the number of reported concussions to go up, because, as Julie said, there's a lot of undiagnosed and unreported concussions. So we actually want to see increases. So when the CDC announced that, as Julie showed you on that slide, it had gone up 60%, the number of concussions seen in the emergency room in children had gone up by 60% over a decade, we had to tell the media, this is good news, this is a good increase. It's not that more people are getting injured, the same number of people are getting injured, it's just that now people who weren't getting treatment are getting treatment. Lastly, in terms of what works, you got to protect your head. But our culture, by and large, is not to wear bicycle helmets, which is very strange, because we have a good body of evidence around bicycle helmets. So just making sure that public health people wear bicycle helmets sends a visual message that everyone should be wearing bicycle helmets. So wear your helmets. What doesn't work? I think there's interest in misleading claims from manufacturers. This vendor's website implies on the website that this guy would be on the ground if he wasn't wearing this little piece of cloth and sponge foam around his head. There is no evidence that these padded headbands that are very popular in soccer do any good. They may in fact do more harm than good by invoking a false sense of security. So padded headbands, absolutely, I don't think there's a shred of evidence and no biological rationale to think that these would prevent concussion. And yet they have been marketed and sold by the millions under this misleading claim. What's next? Things for the future. I'll just wrap up real quickly here because we're running out of time. Helmets are getting better. We have instruments in helmets that can tell us something about rotational and linear accelerations now. And we can utilize that information for a couple of ways. One way is we can show the player, listen, you dropped your head too low. That made that hit too hard for your brain. You need better tackling technique. So we use this at UNC to correct players' playing technique so that they reduce their risk of injury. You've got to be careful giving players these kinds of feedback. You know, some athletes, collegiate athletes, want to demonstrate they can take the big hit. It's a great research tool, but helmets, we're learning so much more about helmets because now we can have the instruments in them. So there's a lot of important helmet research in the mix that's going to start coming out within 1 to 2 years that's going to revolutionize, I think, the helmet industry in football helmets. And then very quickly, I'll allude to this issue of, this is undoubtedly the cutting edge in concussion prevention, is figuring out how to make sure players disclose their symptomology to us. Because when we ask players about the number of concussions they report and ask them about the number of concussions they didn't report, we get very different numbers. So players tell us that they have concussions that they don't report. And so we know, as Julie and Jerry said, most concussions are not getting reported. So figuring out how we can reach in and educate players to disclose their symptoms is really important. And that kind of intervention is going to look different in high school and collegiate settings, and it's going to look different in different sports. And it's going to look different between boys and girls. But I would not be in a rush to label girls as more likely to be concussed, because I think it may just be that girls are more honest about their symptomology. But, you know, sports medicine and health promotion don't get together very often. So we need to get our organizations together so we can get the messaging correct here. Thanks for your time.